What's up, guys? Welcome to Roleplay Swan Song. Jeff, I apologize, but I still don't know the fucking week of the show. So
That's tradition, man. That's tradition.
I guess it is tradition. The reason for not knowing it is I've been elbow deep, as Victor would say, in Destiny this week, and I just haven't looked at fucking anything, at anything else for the past like 36 hours. But I'm excited to play some Stars Without Numbers. But before we get to that, let's have a quick little intro here. Also, we're only going to be playing for 2.5 hours tonight, so don't tweet at me asking where the rest of the VOD is for the week when there's only 4 or 5 VODs up on YouTube. There's just not 4 or 5 VODs up on YouTube. Yeah. Adam, what's been going on with you, sir?
Oh man, it's been a while, hey? When was the last time we played? Like a month ago?
I don't think we're at... It's only been like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, it hasn't been that long. It's been a week before PAX, I think. Right?
Yeah. Like do we play between PAX and Gen Con? It doesn't matter.
No, I don't think we did.
Maybe not. Yeah. I don't know.
We are definitely not hitting the show that must not be named's kind of schedule.
Right.
We're not breaking any records.
Why is this even being brought up? Like, why is it even...
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, nobody knows.
I don't know either.
It has to be the sci-fi nature of it that does that, I guess.
Maybe so.
Ooh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
the only connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a ghost in the machine that's making it so.
That and Steven and Wheat. Actually, and me. God damn it.
And the cast that's the problem. Okay, I see. I like that. It's everyone's fault but mine. Perfect.
Exactly.
Though it was my fault because I was away a lot. I was at Gen Con and then I was dying of Gen Con disease and then PAX. And it's all better now. Now I can just play role-playing games like God intended.
True. True.
Truth.
So what have you been up to, man?
Pretty much that.
Traveling.
Convention syndrome.
I'm surprised you're not sick after having gone to so many conventions.
Well, I mean, I think that after Gen Con, when I got really sick, I got better, and then I went to PAX, and I was kind of immune at PAX, and also I didn't touch anybody, because everyone is gross.
It's true.
So that's a good call, yeah, I feel. But yeah, just that, mostly. Things are evening back out.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool. Yep. Mr. Kovacs, what have you been up to?
Man... Again, what have I been up to? Nothing nearly so glamorous as going to a dozen conventions.
It's true. We did that one shot, and that's all I've heard from you the past month or so.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, I'm still trucking along with my playthrough of The Witcher 2 on Saturday mornings. So that's a lot of fun. Destiny is seriously tempting me. I don't have a PS4, so I'd have to look into that. But I want one for Bloodborne anyway, so we'll see.
Early review is I say don't do it. But
yeah, there's something appealing that like it looks appealing, but it doesn't, it's not really grabbing me, right?
Yeah. Like by contract, I can't actually talk about it until 8-Bits this Friday. So, so yeah, we made me sign that contract.
We'll hand wave away your earlier statement.
That's true. That's true.
So yeah, you know, I've been playing a lot of role playing games, on my own and, with the one shot that we ran, which was a blast. Oh my God. So much fun.
You have this other show you do sometimes with somebody else, maybe you forget about.
What is he talking about? Are you cheating on me?
Kovacs dies and you have to watch the whole session and you're
rocks
dead.
Fall. Kovacs dies.
Yes.
No. Adam and I did an awesome episode of Being Everything Else on Friday, and it was great and awesome, and you guys should definitely check it out. That's over on my YouTube channel. I'll talk about that at the end again.
There you go. There you go. Jeff, what's been going on with you, sir?
Oh, busy, busy. I went to a Warhammer tournament and promptly got sick. Now I infected Anna. Excited to see where that goes.
Nice. Barristan's next.
Oh, God, that'd be weird. I actually got it cuddling with my fellow teammate from the Warhammer team. We had to share a bed, which is a funny joke, I guess. But it'd be funny if it goes from him to me to Anna. And then it's like, who do you cuddle with, Anna, outside of our marriage?
This is how you know. This is how you know, Jeff.
But she seems to be a pretty... she's hogging the flu to herself. Otherwise, I'm building up. We've talked about playing some Steam games. I played some horror games. They were pretty fun. I'm going to do a birthday stream tomorrow. Tomorrow's my birthday. Turn 29.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
Not quite 30.
29 is the best
time. You're not Ryan status yet.
No. I'll have my memory, my eyesight, everything's still intact.
It'll be good. You don't have to start working out or anything. You can. You still got a year, man. You're still good.
I'm fine.
Who's the oldest person in the stream, then?
Oh, Sir Scoots.
Yeah, Sir Scoots.
Every stream.
He just wins every stream.
Including this.
He just kind of wanders between realms, basically. Moves between the...
I think Wheat probably is.
I think Wheat is.
Yeah, Wheat's like 50, so...
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he dyes all his gray hair. That's how you can't tell.
Yeah.
Super attractive.
How was World War I for you, Wheat? Like, did it touch you personally?
You know,
like,
I don't really think about World War I. I think more about the fact that when I came back, I had fucking sound and dialogue and pictures. You know, like, the movie pictures were one of my just favorite things back when we were riding dinosaurs to the theaters, and it was just, you know.
I think I actually caught the VOD of your World War I stream.
It was different times.
This weekend I got great news. I'm really excited. Seahawks are going to play the Chargers, and some idiots actually bet against the Seahawks in that game, so I'm going to make some money. But Saturday, and you guys, if they do this anywhere within three states of you, you have to attend. I'm going to yet another viewing of The Room with the actual main actors from the movie. I've went one time before. It's one of the funniest and most fun things I've ever done.
Yeah, it's like an interactive experience, right?
People throw spoons when they're in the living room. There's this woman that basically blames everything on having cancer, so the whole room says, because you have... Or no, they say, because you're a woman, because she's just like, I can't do that. I don't know. It sounds funny to describe, but it's just fucking incredible. Sex scenes, everyone that's dressed as Tommy Wiseau walk out because he's never watched his own sex scenes because he's weird about it. Nice. And then he made a whole movie about how he's the sexiest guy in the entire world. So it's just this really, it's so good. And it's the worst movie ever made, by the way, guys. If you haven't seen it, it's actually incredibly bad.
Oh. Your description of this is just amazing, Jeff.
It's so fun. My God. There's one scene. Well, so you bring plastic spoons and forks and you throw them at the screen. That's what everyone in the theater does.
Uh-huh.
When they're in the living room, because in the living room, they never replaced the stand-in pictures in the frames. So they're pictures of spoons and forks throughout the entire living room. And there's one scene where she just sits in her chair next to a picture of a fork, and people are just raining forks on the screen the whole time. It sounds like raining. It's incredible.
Nice.
So that's my good news, yeah.
Cool. Last but not least, also the reason the show is able to go on tonight, and also, more importantly, what the fuck is this mood lighting controlled from the iPad? I saw you down there. I know your tricks.
I'm just getting in the mood. It's dark. It's late. I felt like I wanted to be in the swan song tonight, so I'm going hard, son.
You need to make it so the red flashes when we're in like an emergency situation. Can you do that,
bro?
Can you do that?
Oh shit!
I will be ready.
I could actually get in on that too. I got one of those kick lights, and you can control it with the thing.
I think I can, JP. I'll have
we
to.
We should all get it, and then we can. Like, yeah, we. Have
what
all of
what
our
light
stuff
is
flashing.
That, Wheat?
What?
What is that? Like what?
It's
light?
The hue. It's a hue system.
A hue system. Okay.
Yeah.
Steven's got a poop candle behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. It's a steaming,
beautiful,
flaming pile of shit behind him. Apparently. I don't know. If that looks
it's,
like. That,
it's just a little mood lighting.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Is this the Philips?
Yeah.
Also, if you're sitting like in the middle, your head just glows red. There you go. Yep.
Yeah. There we go. I'll just do this the whole show.
Exactly. Is that the Philips Hue light system, Mr. Wheat?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is. Whoa, I don't even know what the fuck
this episode is. Brought to you by Philips.
No, I got it for Christmas a while ago. And it's just more fun to, fuck around with it, you know, for the show. So that's what I did.
Yeah, their website's kind of weird. What have you been up to?
I took a trip, and
can you talk about said trip yet?
I can't talk about the trip.
Okay,
it's one of those things. And so I got back. I had one of those shitty travel experiences, you know, the ones where. They're like, okay, you're supposed to go here and then fly here, but we're going to route you through this other city, but then they route you and then that plane gets delayed and then you're going a different way. So it was kind of a rough morning, but had a good trip. I'm back. That's it. I kind of feel like I've been out of it because
what the hell did I do this weekend? I don't know. Played Counter-Strike.
Hey, Wheat.
Yeah.
Twitch sells for $1 billion, Minecraft for $2 billion. Hashtag wreck. Get fucked, dumbass. God
damn. Yeah. Yeah. You're right, but I mean, if you really want to have this conversation, I'm going to crush you. You know that? You know that, right?
What? You mean like Minecraft crush Twitch? Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-boop.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Sure. Oh, my God. Sure. Take those easy shots, man. Take those
easy
shots.
Yes, because apparently I care about
I mean, well, I'll respond. I think that's fantastic considering the amount that the game has sold, not to mention the fact that they have to probably have made more in merchandising than they made on the actual game. So,
oh my
God.
Yeah, probably
anyone
so.
Would see that and go, that's pretty good. I would challenge you and say, from a Twitch perspective, something that's only been around for 3 years and, you know, who knows what the revenue potential is or has been of Twitch, yet it gets a price tag for $1 billion. So
I agree.
What's up? What's up with that, dog?
I'm more confused that they, like, if I look at the two, Twitch has so much up to it. Like, Minecraft's a single game. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, anyways. But it's a single game that sold like 30 million copies or some shit.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Plus, my kid has 50,000 T-shirts and Lego sets and posters and.
I didn't know that they merchandised that heavily. That's
Fuck a duck.
I mean, when you get to the level of having your own con, like a BlizzCon or any, they have MineCon, right? Like, you're megastar status, and it's actually what you think it is, Jeff. It's a bunch of YouTubers on stage, and everyone in the audience is a bunch of kids. And the kids just fucking lose it when the YouTubers say, like, made-up words that don't exist. And that's actually MineCon.
So yeah, that's pretty much just exactly
there's
like
also
Twitch
been a
then.
Creeper behind me for, like, who knows how many shows that, you know, we've done together.
That's true.
Yeah, it's been in your face this whole time. That's just true. Beckoning
the
you.
The signs were there.
You know what else is brilliant? And then I'll shut the fuck up because we don't have a whole lot of time. Is that Minecraft already has a graphic style that is outdated. But it's loved.
Yes.
And it will live forever. And yeah, then when finally people start to go, okay, fuck this noise, then they're just going to give it like an HD or maybe like a next gen buff to it. And I mean, well, the modding alone doesn't even matter because anyway, the game's amazing.
Yeah, it's insane. No, it's insane.
I'm actually surprised it only went for that much, considering that Oculus Rift, that doesn't have a retail product, hasn't made a cent, and no one knows if it's even going to be something that will catch on in the industry, got the exact same price tag.
That's true. Yeah.
What did Words with Friends sell for? Do you guys remember?
I don't even remember that.
Did it?
Well, WhatsApp was like 16 something or other.
It was like 19. Yeah.
Or 19 what? Billion?
Billion.
God damn it.
All right. Mobile app, Jeff.
We are all in the wrong industry.
What did Yo sell for? Didn't Yo sell?
It what?
Didn't Yo? Wasn't that an app that sold for like a couple billion?
$19 billion?
Yeah.
It's true.
Son, $19 billion.
It's true.
Chat will buy a lot of countries with that money. You could buy.
Yeah, it's higher than the GDP of a ton of countries.
Become the king of Poland with that money. You could just buy Poland.
I don't think you can buy Polish nobility.
You could. $19 billion.
It's totally for sale. I'm on ibuypoland.com.
Yeah,
I don't think King Polish love
would
approve.
It's not .com, it's .ru. You
oh, yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Sorry, shots Poland. Fired.
Ow. Political. That's like deep political shots fired that are... Okay.
Yeah.
Spaceships. How? When you sell roleplay, you better get at least $5 billion for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, I'm holding out till the billions.
No, dude. Merchandising tiny Victorian action figures.
Yeah. Yep. Look. You know, Maker got bought by Disney for a reason, and that's because they've got a great toy line, and we've got roleplay figurines coming soon.
Yep.
I'm gonna have my little Mr. S versus my Victorian, and they're just gonna fight each other like that. It's gonna be great.
Is there like a duck figure?
Yep, the little duck. We'll have him walking around with Danzel. Yep. That's
its
a pack.
Its neck is pull outable. It pulls out of the body, and you can break it.
Exactly, exactly. That's gonna happen. Adam, please save us from this ridiculousness.
I I will.
For more ridiculousness.
Yeah, a different kind of ridiculousness. Exactly. So you may remember from several days ago, you had just undertaken a very long space journey with your new passenger, Dr. Omar Ibn Said of the Anaximander University. And you had been employed to take him and several crates of equipment to the planet Subhadra in the Stavros system, like right way at the far end of Asgard Sigma. And so you take your ship. You guys went on a very long voyage, some of which didn't go so well. So the Swan Song is in not great shape. Steven, as quartermaster of the Swan Song, do you have a record of the damaged systems?
I've got something somewhere.
How's she doing? Do you have that available to you?
I don't think I have a record of literally which systems are damaged. Looks like we've got 54 person days. Looks like we've got... I have 17 hit points somehow. I don't know, man. What the hell happened?
Oh, yeah.
So failed navigation rolls, but only failed by a small margin, often result in overloaded systems as the spike drive shunts
power.
Yeah.
I see our fuel scoops are offline and our sand throw is offline.
So here's the situation. I mean, you arrive in the Stavros system at Subhadra with your fuel supply empty and your scoops broken. So you need to purchase fuel to be able to leave the system. You should be able to, theoretically, you can land on Subhadra, but, you know, Dr. Said promises that, you know, they have a docking bay in the research facility at Research Station Al-Farabi. You'll be able to land there. They have technicians. They can help you fix the ship, anything that might be damaged, and refuel you and send you on your way with your payment for dropping them off. So everything, I'm sure, will be fine when you arrive there. So you guys, you're flying into the planet's surface now. You have the coordinates for Al-Farabi. The planet Subhadra is like a, not a desert world, but like a Badlands world, like kind of like the, like Arizona, like Death Valley sort of Badlands, like lots of red, iron-rich rock. Kind of like Mars, but with a proper atmosphere, so you could breathe. Except that the local population, the Va'ad, those alien insectoids that live here, they've recently discovered combustible fossil fuels and have been basically industrial revolutioning the whole planet. So there is like massive buildup already of like gas in the atmosphere. So the atmosphere is quite smoggy. You might remember I described before, they're primarily like a underground dwelling race, so they have tunnels underground, and their engines and the power supplies and stuff that they use vent gas up into the atmosphere through these massive sort of termite pile structures. The humans on the planet, of which there are like maybe like 10,000, give or take, occupy a small sort of different research, like there's a research station, there's several like smuggler stations on this planet. It's way out of the way, so it's a place people come to hide, basically. So you guys are approaching
the Tatooine field.
Yeah, we don't, we like, does that mean that we're sort of amongst the shady, or like we don't have to necessarily worry about Swan Song, our identity, what, anything we've done?
Yeah, I mean, there's this planet particularly, there's nobody here that gives a shit who you are. Like, the other humans on this planet will be research, they'll be nerds who are like, ooh, aliens, let's go check them out. Or they're going to be smugglers who are like, let's make a base here and, like, make some bathtub drugs and sell them in Tovar or whatever, like, nearby. It's not a hub of traffic or anything.
Okay.
I mean, it has the standard, like, exchange satellite that transfers information, because that's a kind of a given in every system. But, yeah, I mean, you guys don't have to worry too much about the popo in this zone.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're approaching the research station. You're all on the bridge. Dr. Said is there, anxiously anticipating his arrival. And as you approach the coordinates, you see in the distance where it's an ominous first sighting of the station. There's a massive like plume of black smoke coming from where the station is located. You can see that the Dr. Said gets like pale and kind of like grips the console. He seems nervous and you can tell already that something is wrong.
Dr. Said, that's a lot of pollution.
he turns to look at you and he says, he shakes his head. He's like, our station is entirely solar powered. This shouldn't be, but I will reserve judgment until we get closer. And he turns to Piani. He turns to you and says, can you see anything on the scanners? I fear something is wrong.
I'm about to check.
Okay.
Mr. Sicarian ducks out of the room.
Okay, where are you headed?
To my room to put on my combat suit.
Okay.
Assault suit.
Getting ready for trouble? That sounds like a good plan. Okay.
Did you say that
apron.
This place is called El Sarabi?
The research station is Al Farabi. Yeah.
Al Farabi.
Research station Al Farabi, yeah.
Are you making a roll, Wheat?
Go ahead and make the roll there. It's just a computer's check.
Okay. I rolled, but I didn't see anything. There we go.
Seven. Away. Okay. All right. I mean, you get a scan of the station. It is where you expect it to be. It's not like completely obliterated or anything, but you can see just from the ship scanners that there's a fair bit of structural damage. There's no ambient radiation or energy that would imply like heavy weapons or anything, but you know, maybe the generator exploded or there's obviously structural damage from here. The docking bay primarily also has been like wrecked. Kovacs, you're gonna have to find a better place to set down. You realize as you're coming in that the ship's docking computer can't connect with the landing bay, and there's nowhere to land.
I guess over the comms, I'm kind of like, did this fucking thing look like this when you were last here?
Said, again, like pale, nervous, you can see sweat beading on his forehead, turns to look at you and he says, I've never been here before, so I anticipate, no, it did not look like this prior to now. And he kind of mutters something to himself in Arabic and... kind of goes back to leaning on the desk. He's not, you can tell right now, like, he's not like you guys. He's not a hardened space adventurer. He's a little fragile, so there's definitely some tension that's getting to him.
Ed, could, like, perception help me understand why he's so bent out of shape about this?
He's worried about the location, plus also his team is there, plus also, like, his...
Right.
Academic career relies on this station being a thing.
I would like to turn to him and say, Dr. Said, is there? Why would anybody attack this research station? Is it not just a research station looking into these creatures, the VOD?
He says, no, we have no enemies here. The VOD barely acknowledge human existence on the planet. Focused as they are on their hive, but the other humans that are here are smugglers. They wish to go unnoticed. We would have no reason to come in conflict with them. Plus, I would have heard something. When we arrived in the system, I received nothing on my communications. No warnings. No mayday.
What all does the scan... Does the scan reveal any of that information to us? Like, a life scan, is that a particular part we need for the swan song? Like, can we
bioscan or something?
Yeah, you can detect like biosignatures and stuff. There don't seem to be. I mean, it's like a pulse around the ship and stuff, and you're kind of focusing it on the base. The base doesn't seem to have any. I mean, there's a lot of kind of ambient heat, and like the pollution might be messing with your systems and stuff a little bit. You'd have to get in and get a closer scan if you wanted to like really get it. But there's no human life signs here. Not in the base. Do you tell Said that? Like, hey, there's nobody there.
No. Actually, I want to duck back to the computer room.
Okay. Sure.
And I mean, I guess while Victor is kind of trying to figure out where to go, I wanna ask Pi if Pi can communicate with the ship.
Yeah, I mean, anything that the sensors can pick up, Pi is aware of instinctively.
I mean, Pi, can you maybe take a trip over there and just look around a little bit and come on back to us and just tell me what you see?
So you get a comms like feed in your station, basically like an attempt to connect, like when you try to connect to a system like an FTP or something, and the system is down. There's no power in the station. The comms tower, and you see this kind of as we cut away from like Piani looking at the thing back to the bridge, and you can see as you approach, you're starting to get a better idea of the layout of the place. There's like one main building, and there's an off building where the docking bay would be, and you can see that the docking bay has actually sunk into a like a crevice that seems to have opened up under it, and so the docking platform is broken in half and kind of half sunk into the earth. That's where all of the smoke is coming from, probably damaged fuel supplies that are there. There's a large comms tower kind of nearby. And actually, Victor, can you make a perception check for me, please?
Yeah. Plus intelligence? Yeah.
Wisdom.
Ooh, what is my wisdom? Yeah, there it is. Not so great. Okay.
Not bad. Okay. The communication equipment on this tower is not like, I mean, they would only really need comms equipment to beam like tight beam data to the exchange satellite and back, and then maybe some like local stuff. There's a bunch of other weird scratch built equipment attached to this comms tower. You don't recognize it, but you definitely know it's like non-regulation sort of Starbase equipment.
Yeah.
It seems like damaged. Like there's no warning lights. All the systems are down. So there's the comms tower. There's the docking bay attached to this larger area, and then there's a series of smaller sheds, kind of off to the north of the main complex.
Yeah. I radio to Piani and I say, Piani, all I do is fly this thing. You gotta let me know where to set it down. Can you get me out here?
I mean, I'll do my best, and I mean, we did a scan of it. Is there anything I can gather from that? Like any other place in the landing pad that I
can identify? Obvious flat spots where the right. You know, it doesn't seem like there's caverns underneath that are exactly likely to collapse and explode into flame.
Sure, make another computer roll. This time you're using like a seismic analyzing scan. You're gonna look for like a stable set of ground. And then if you succeed, if you can get 7 or better, you can give a +1 to Victor's pilot roll to land.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. Right.
So you get a pretty solid looking area where you can set down.
I'm firing a couple of locations over to your screen. I'll let you make the final decision, so don't fuck us, Victor.
Yeah, thanks, Piani. I'll see what I can do. Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
So it's a bit of a rocky landing without the docking bay's tractor beam to pull you in, but you land about a kilometer away from the main building, which I guess is like 2.5 miles, give or take.
Yeah.
Anyway, you land 1 Canadian mile away from the from the facility. Sicarian, in your quarters, you feel the ship settle, like set down. And the systems start to power down into landing mode. What do you want to do?
I just finished putting on my suit and walk out to meet up with the group, I guess.
Okay.
The atmosphere here is palatable to humans, right?
Yes, the atmosphere is. There's a significant amount of smog, though, so you're going to have to make asthma check. No. It's the
damn,
nerds.
I have a -1 to asthma.
The nerds in the party will have to make asthma saves. So you and Dr. Sayed.
Yeah.
It's breathable. It's just like heavily polluted. It's like Beijing or something. It's like the sky is kind of grayish all the time, and your visibility is limited by the amount of smoke that's being sort of poured out of the earth. Hmm. Yeah. So you guys are landed. Your landing spot is about a click away, sort of in some partial shade under a rock like outcropping. You can kind of barely see out the viewport, the comms tower in the distance, just sort of as a shadow through the pollution.
Are we close enough that our comm server reaches?
What's the range on it? It's like 30 clicks or something, I think.
So okay. 30 kilometers.
30
right?
kilometers? Yeah, it is. Okay, yeah. So yeah. We're fine, right? Like if we get there, we can at least.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are within personal comms range of the ship, so if you need to communicate with Pi or whatever, you can keep an eye on the ship. You can set the alarm and make sure no one steals it, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you're independently right. communicative with the ship.
Right. I guess I don't know if Mrs. Carrion even needs a vac suit with what he's wearing, but I suppose I will equip mine.
I don't. Mine has atmosphere.
Yeah, you're built in.
My apron has everything.
It's true. It's utility apron.
Okay, well, so Higgs and Kovacs, do you guys want to suit up too, or are you just going to go out? I mean, like, suiting up is it's good if you care about the health of your lungs, but like, it's a 1K walk. Like, it's not
I'm good. I won't wear it.
Okay.
Well, my con's 9, but it's not that bad. I think Kovacs, you know, he wants to feel the air in his lungs and the dirt beneath his feet.
You don't know where that shit's been. Fucking breathing it in your lungs.
Well, you know, given the recent industrial revolution on this planet, I think I have some pretty good ideas of the kinds of places it's been. We can look at historical evolutions of industrial societies and calculate backwards.
Soak it
to
in.
The...
Keep going.
The common sorts of industrial... Hang on a second. I'm getting a little winded.
Okay, so the doctor, you guys are all having this conversation, I guess, like in the cargo hold or whatever on the way out of the ship, like you're getting ready to go.
I wanted to actually ask Saeed, like, where does he want us to go first? Straight to the main building? I'm actually really curious about this collapsed landing pad.
I'm in danger mode, Adam, by the way. I'm looking around security-wise.
Okay, so he's nervous. Like, he's, like, just waiting for you to ask him... Like, he knows there's a question he doesn't want to have to answer coming up. You can tell. Like, he's just sort of following you around and isn't really taking any kind of initiative to say anything or do anything. Like, he looks really kind of out of sorts.
So we don't really know where we're going then unless he tells us? Or
so I turn to Saeed and I say, Saeed, where are we supposed to meet your buddies?
Yeah, where are your buddies supposed to be, man? This is your rodeo. Where are we going?
He says... This research station should be home to 2.5 dozen people, scientists, their families, but if they're not communicating and the power is down, I fear what happened to them. I would sooner stay here with my equipment, and he kind of gestures to the crates that you've brought on board.
What? No, you're
just
coming
in case.
With us. They're probably... Look, I'm going to break the hard news. They're probably dead, all right? You just got to accept that, and you got to carry this shit.
He says,
Jesus, Higgs.
Yeah, he kind of looks at the ground and he says, of course you're right, Mr. Higgins, but I'm not a brave man. I fear for my own life. And if I were to leave my life's work behind and have it stolen by smugglers, if this is a trap, for example, I couldn't live with myself. Please allow me to stay here with the equipment. If you would be so kind as to go ahead and scout the location. If it is safe, I would be happy to join you. But for now, I would rather stay on board your ship.
The chances of us completing this mission with him intact significantly increase with him on the ship for us to clear it first.
Yeah, but do you trust someone on our ship by themselves?
No. We would subdue him, of course.
You just say that?
Yeah, I just like dead look over to Mr. Side. I'm like, do you want to be subdued?
I don't think he knows what to say. He's kind of
I step up and I say, look, guys, come on. We've always got Pi. Pi can take care of things. Let me tell you, flying this ship, it's kind of rocket science. He's not going to be able to do a whole lot without, you know, some specialized...
Only we had a rocket scientist.
He's a total nerd, like... Come on.
He kind of puts his hand up and he's like, if I may interject, I mean, no offense, but your ship is in no condition for me to steal it and escape with it. I believe you are out of fuel.
I just like look like do a 180 as he says. Like, what? I think you're coming with us. I don't think you have much say, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, no, he makes a good point. The ship has no fuel, and Yannick or Pi can watch over him. But our mission's easier, and our pay is easier if he stays alive.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we should leave him behind. Who knows what's lurking out there? That could be some sort of strange, you know, alien transforming creature that's, you know, built up a nest in this place, and we have to go flame it out with flamethrowers. Terribly exciting. I saw it in a movie once.
Story before.
That movie is like 2,000 years old almost now.
Some of us like studying history and ancient languages.
Yeah, the 80s are coming back.
Yeah.
All right, so you want to leave the doctor behind on the ship?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
I vote
don't
yes.
like it.
I guess we like leave the doctor and I'm walking away and I turn to Piani. I'm just like, is Pi going to be okay with him on there? Is that?
Oh,
we're not going to come back to him dead, are we?
Pi will be fine.
You want to let him know that he's friendly with us? And like,
in fact, yeah, like as we kind of leave and separate and you know, we are within just us and I'm within calm distance. I do say like, Pi, keep an eye on the fella in there and just do me a favor and don't talk to him. If he tries to do anything crazy, just shut the systems down. But we don't know about this guy and we need him.
Am I hearing these comms, Piani?
Right next to you.
Okay.
So, you're hearing the comms.
Do a perception check at plus 100.
I also chime in and I say, oh, and Pi, if any of, like, you know, Saeed's long-lost Arabic brethren come delivering something strange, just maybe don't open the door. And I just sort of nudge Piani.
He is racist.
What? Piani's Irish. You come. Let's get on with this.
Yeah, the doctor looks at you weird. Like, every time you've mentioned Pi, like, oh, we got Pi, it'll be fine. You can see the confusion on his face. Like, he doesn't know what you're talking about, but is trying to be polite and not bring it up. So he kind of is just, like, thankful he's allowed to stay on the ship. He's doing that thing where he's, like, looking at his data pad and pretending like he's looking at something really interesting so he doesn't have to engage with you in conversation.
Sure.
Let's fucking go.
So you leave, the doctor behind on the ship. And fairly quickly, the swan song disappears in the sort of cloud of miasma that this planet is emitting. As you head towards the shadow of the comms tower in the distance. So I think this is probably a good time for our first break. It's a little early, but I wanna jump in when you get there. So let's take that here, and then we'll pick up in a sec.
Sure, sounds good. We'll take our first break, 3 minutes worth, and we'll come back and head into the second hour. Right after this, we'll see you guys in just a bit.